God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
And
amen.
There is no vacation from a vocation. But what is a vocation? How does the church define that word? It makes me think about this story. There was a mother. She was cooking some sauce for the spaghetti. And her 7-year-old child could smell the sausage, the meatballs, and he wanted to get a better look. So he got a chair, and he got on top of the chair. He tried to look over the pot, and he couldn't see the meatball and the sausage. And he asked his mom, "Where is it? You know, I can smell it, but I don't see it." And she said, "It's in there." He said, "Well, I don't see the tomatoes the way it looks outside when it's not cooked." And she said, "It's in there." And when you look at our Lord reveals to us the ingredients of what a vocation is, we can see it in sacred scripture. The Lord reveals to us through the church, which is our mother, what it means to have a vocation. And a mother has a vocation. It's a vocation that God called Eve from the very beginning. But she wasn't faithful to that vocation by being obedient to God. But we think about our Blessed Mother, she was the model of a mother.
Amen?
Amen? The perfect model. But it makes me think about, how do we see that in our history? There was, when you think about Martin Luther King, his mother was very faithful, disciple of Christ. She knew the Lord, amen? But she was quiet. Martin Luther King says she liked to be in the background. She wasn't the one that wanted to be in the front. And she was a part of his formation in his faith. It's part of what made him have the character that he came up to be. But it is the Lord, the Holy Spirit, that molded her and molds Our Lady and molds all of us to be that disciple of Christ, to realize that vocation is always constant. But we understand we're being consecrated. And that consecration requires patience, perseverance, being perceptive. So Martin Luther King's mother, she persevered in her faith. She played an organ. And one day, a man came and he said he hated Christians. And he basically murdered her. He used his firearm upon her, and she died that day. She died for her faith in Christ. But she was consecrated because of her baptism. That's when the consecration happened. But the consecration and baptism has to mature. It has to grow. It has to develop. Everything we need is in here, in our soul, because the Lord has planted the ingredients for us to be holy. Amen? And that just means to be Jesus. That's all it means. To be holy means to be Jesus. It's not some type of ambiguous light that's coming out of us or to be a clone of this or that saint. We keep our personality, we keep our talents, we keep our gifts, but we're called to be more. We're called to be Jesus. And so Our Lady was always in the background, but she promoted Jesus. She was consecrated in the truth because she always wanted to live the truth. She wanted to live the truth that God revealed, not her own truth or a truth that someone else presents, but the truth in the person of Christ, Christ who is incarnate truth. And he reveals to us that he gives us a mission. not just the apostles. So this past Thursday was Ascension Thursday, great feast. You know, I celebrated Mass here the night before, 6:30. Then I celebrated 7 a.m. And I celebrated at noon here as well. The Ascension Thursday is when Jesus ascends into heaven. It's 40 days after Jesus was risen. For 40 days, he's teaching the apostles how to be a disciple, how to be an apostle, how to build up the church. He's instructing them of what the church should look like, the church who is our mother, the church who is our mother that helps us to follow Christ. And they had to get it right. Because they were going to lead the church through the Holy Spirit. So they had to understand what that role was. They were commissioned to see the church as their mother. And so Jesus instructed them and he taught them. But then he ascended into heaven. And it's so important we celebrate that feast. The church calls us to celebrate that feast. Because when he ascended to heaven, he breathed the Holy Spirit. And he tells the apostles and the disciples, go and preach to the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So he breathes on them, and our Lord is ascending. They believe and they worship, but they doubt it. It says that word in sacred scripture, they doubt it. The same Jesus they ate and drank with, who has marks on his hands, who is crucified, is ascending to heaven. But Jesus ascends because he is the head of the church. We are the members. And Jesus wants to encourage us. He says, look, of course there are going to be crosses. Yes. Of course there's going to be testing of our faith. Yes. And we're going to be challenged yes. to not give up our vocation of practicing our faith. But the universal call of holiness is something we always are all called to practice our faith. And you're going to be tested. But our Lord gives us the Spirit. He does that because the Holy Spirit is so important. Today is day 3 for Novena to the Holy Spirit. And that's my most favorite Novena, the Novena to the Holy Spirit. It's in sacred scripture. Jesus mandated all the apostles, all the disciples, they had to go into the one room. After his ascension, for 9 days, they prayed only to receive the Holy Spirit. That's what they prayed for. Jesus said, it's better for me to go than to stay, because otherwise the Holy Spirit would not come. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to be charitable, to be humble, to be faithful, to be merciful. Yes. All the virtues, everything we need to be virtuous, to be Jesus, is in the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't pray. Come on. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot say Jesus is Lord. Come on. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot be led into the kingdom of God. Come on. Now, Judas was not led by the Holy Spirit, by what he did. He had despair. The Holy Spirit doesn't give us despair. He does give us light to know our sins. He helps us to see our sins, which is a grace. It's a great grace. We may not see it as a grace or a blessing, but to know our sins is actually a great grace, because then we see ourselves as the Lord sees us. And when he sees us, he sees everything, right? You know, we can hide different things about ourselves from each other, right? We can hide this or that. And Adam and Eve tried to hide. They realized they were naked. They tried to hide in a bush, right? They tried to hide from God. But we can't hide from God. We're naked. Everything is visible to God. Every sin that we've ever committed, God knows. It can be a thought that we consent to. It can be whatever sins we can fall into. God knows. God sees and hears everything. But yet, God is love. So he draws us to see that sin. The Holy Spirit gives us the grace. He sees that sin, and then we have sorrow for this sin. That sorrow is a type of baptism. It's not baptism, but it's a type in the sense that it helps us realize, wait a minute, we are beloved. Amen?
Yes.
That is our name. Amen?
Yes.
Although we struggle with sin and we're sinners, we're still beloved. And so that consecration of being beloved, when we realize that, it makes us feel sorry for our sins, that we hurt the one whom we love.
Yes. Yes.
Not so much as, and it could be we fear going to hell, which is not bad, it's good, and that is a grace too, but it's better to feel sorry because we hurt the one whom we love, which is our Lord. So our Lord consecrates us, and he purifies us, he prunes us. That consecration is a pruning where we know our sins, we have sorrow for our sins, and we run to Christ. Amen? So there was a woman who was a mother, and she was struggling to give birth. She had this this disease. And because of this disease, this was going to be our second born child. The doctor said you have two choices. You can either, you know, sacrifice your child so that you can live, or you can sacrifice yourself so that your baby girl can live. The choice is yours. And so she chose to sacrifice her life. She didn't have to do that. That's not considered abortion. It's not a sin to do what if she sacrificed her child, because there was no choice. It was, so a life for a life is equal. The life of the child, the life of the mother is equal. Life is equal to life. But she chose to sacrifice her life. Not only did she give birth, but she chose to sacrifice her life for her daughter. And because she did that, she became canonized a saint. Saint Gianna Moli. She's a saint in Italy. She's canonized because she didn't have to sacrifice her life, but she chose to do that. She wanted to be a mother in that moment. But because of that moment, that one moment to save the life of her daughter lives, and her daughter is now, she's still alive. And her daughter became a doctor just like her mom. And she promotes trying to live a life of Christ. She tries to promote living a life of Christ. She dedicates her life to evangelize. She's not a nun, but she's a lay person, but she tries to promote life. So I just bring up that story to say that her motto was Our Blessed Mother. Our Blessed Mother is the motto. This is the month of Mary. So I encourage you, I invite you to pray the rosary. Praying the rosary is a powerful way to allow ourselves to be consecrated, because the Holy Spirit loves his wife. His wife is the Blessed Mother. Holy Mary is married to the Holy Spirit. She's not married to Jesus. Jesus is our son. She's not married to God the Father. She's the daughter of the Father. But she's married to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is her spouse. So when you pray the rosary, the Holy Spirit is happy. The Holy Spirit is right there in your soul, animating you to have a living faith, to draw you to Christ. Because our Blessed Mother was always perceptive. Right? The wedding feast of Cana, she knew they ran out of wine. She was perceptive. She was patient. She turned to Jesus. She interceded. They ran out of wine. He works that miracle. And that miracle was so that there was plenty of wine, and the wine was greater than what they expected. But the rosary is a way for us to be consecrated, because the gospel is powerful. And how often we meditate on the gospel? Do we meditate on the gospel every day? The gospel is the rosary. The rosary is the gospel. When we pray the rosary, we're praying the gospel. We're doing it with help. We're doing it with a structure, an outline. the Our Father, the Hail Mary. Because our Blessed Mother, she only wants to focus on Jesus. But when we pray, sometimes when we pray on our own, we focus on ourselves. We don't focus so much on Jesus, but what he can do for us, which may or may not be what we need. So our prayer becomes pure, more pure, when we pray with the gospel. And the rosary is a means to do that, as a way to do that in a simple way, as a method to meditating on the gospel. It's not the only way to meditate on the gospel, but it's a powerful way to do so. And it's the month of May, it's the month of Our Lady. So Our Lady was always persevering. She was patient. She was patient. And Our Lady is patient with us. When we pray the rosary and we try to meditate on the gospel, she's going to patiently help us to refocus on Jesus. Because she wants us to be one. Part of the consecration is not just living a life of virtue, but living as one. That oneness means that Jesus lives inside of us, and we live inside of Jesus. And that's part of our consecration. That's part of our revealing the Holy Trinity within us. So the Lord calls us to not fall into discouragement or despair, never to be discouraged, to always keep our eyes of faith on Christ. And when we do this, we will allow ourselves to bear fruit, fruit that will last. And we'll be able to show that everyone can understand that unity that we experience is because of God. The Lord brings that unity. The world doesn't want that unity. The spirit of the world is not like us. So when we say we're born into our family, we have the physical features that make us look like our parents, right? We can see that. When we're born into become a member of the church, when we're born through baptism, our soul becomes similar features of Jesus. We have the features of Jesus in our soul because we're related to him. But if we're related to him, then we're related to each other. And that's why we say we're a family. We say family because the Spirit of God dwells in us. And the features of Christ's virtues and his presence are in us. And so the Holy Spirit with Our Lady molds Jesus from within our soul so that our soul looks like Jesus because he's living in us and we're living in him. And when God the Father looks at our soul, that's what he wants to see. He wants to see Jesus in our soul. But the Holy Spirit and Our Lady together, they form Jesus in our soul. And that's the consecration. That's reflecting the consecration. That's living the consecration, having Jesus be formed within our soul. And so when we pray the rosary, when we go to confession, when we go to adoration, when we do these things, they sanctify us, they consecrate us, and they make us one. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.